learn and not be controlled by these algorithms that try to divide us or sort us and keep us apart from each other. So that's what I have to say. And but I don't know if our caller's still alive.
Love.
Yep. What did you say? Sorry, say that again.
But love is also truth and principle, and it's very strong. It's not wimby-wamby. It's there's a fierce love that we protect the earth, we protect our communities, we protect the rights of those who would seem to be marginalized. And that is part of what motivates you and makes me just love and appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we have to carry that forward. Thank you so much. So it's time to wrap it up, I'm being told. So thank you all for listening, and thank you, callers, for calling in. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio, and I'm Jacqueline Keeler, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
Jeremiah.
And we are Amnesia, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
Plugged In on KBOO is a radio show dedicated to underground electronic music. The show is hosted by DJ Tronic and features deep house, tech house, techno, drum and bass, breakbeats, future bass, down tempo, and more. Plugged In frequently has local producers and DJs on the show, and we provide info about upcoming events in Portland, including free ticket giveaways. Plugged In airs the first and third Friday of every month from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific time.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Cheryl Beversdorf, producer and host of Aging Matters, a program produced in Arlington, Virginia, and featuring timely aging topics for older adults and their families. Today on Sprouts, you'll hear the second half of a program about Meals on Wheels, a program that specializes in addressing the unique needs of America's most vulnerable and high-risk older adult and disabled populations by providing a nutritious meal, companionship, and a watchful eye on health and safety. My guests are Carter Florence, Vice President of Programs at Meals on Wheels America, and Mary Tugwell, President of Meals on Wheels of Arlington, Virginia.
As a national organization, Carter, is there an ongoing effort by Meals on Wheels to continue and enhance the partnerships with these other organizations so that more of the needs of these older adult clients are being met?
Absolutely. Last year, Meals on Wheels America actually launched a campaign or platform called In the Wait, which is really about raising awareness of the wait that older adults face, not just for Meals on Wheels services, but really for all the needs that they have to be able to support them to successfully and healthfully age. 1% of philanthropy supports older adults. Oftentimes, they are an afterthought in the federal legislation or other entities. So we know that Meals on Wheels is an effective solution to helping to support older adults stay in their communities. It's cost effective, but it's also not the only thing that is needed. So we want to continue to partner both nationally and locally to be able to bring the best services to older adults so that they can stay at home where they want to be. So that is absolutely a big part of our work. We bring national partners together. whether that's through advocacy and unified voice on Capitol Hill, whether that's lifting up local examples through our annual conference and learning opportunities of perhaps a unique partnership with the sheriff's office.
Because there are certainly a lot of rural areas in the United States, and I know that there are some radio stations that are picking up this program, is there a different approach if older adults are living in a rural area as opposed to an urban area?
One thing we have seen is that programs really modify their operations to meet the local needs. And sometimes that may look like having a hub and spoke model. So this is something you'll see in rural communities where the main Meals on Wheels program may be in kind of the urban location, but they maybe have senior centers in communities where they will go and store meals and deliver meals from there. They'll also have community dining on site in those places. You do also see adjustments where maybe multiple meals will be delivered at one time that are frozen and that they are then reheated. So they may not be delivering daily, although we see that in urban communities as well. So that may not be just a uniquely rural connection. We do also see in rural communities the distance being a real challenge, and often volunteers aren't able to commit to a 100-mile round-trip drive. So you may be seeing that, again, with a refrigerated vehicle that really can keep those food at temperature and a paid staff who is really able to make that distance happen on a more regular basis than a volunteer. But again, they've been trained and they absolutely connect with the clients and take care of the folks the exact same way.
And Mary, where you are in Arlington, Virginia, obviously that's a large geographic area of Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia, as well as Maryland. Does your organization collaborate in some way with other Meals on Wheels organizations and other partners as well? Somebody might have two homes in different parts of the geographic area. Is there also some kind of a collaboration between your organization and others in your geographic area?
Not at this time. We used to have one big Northern Virginia Meals on Wheels, and then we broke up into the local communities because each one had their unique needs. Like Fairfax County is so very large, I can see that being a 100-mile trip to deliver meals. So they have their caterer do the deliveries for them. And Arlington is relatively small geographically, and so our volunteers, when they do their deliveries, it's, you know, maybe a couple of hours commitment, and, you know, they're driving max 20 miles, and so that's much easier on the volunteers.
Parking can be a challenge though, Mary, so.
Oh my gosh. That is parking and getting into secure apartment buildings. Security is great, but it can be a challenge for us.
The unique notes that go into route deliveries are just one of my very favorite things. Just the open this fence and this code, that it really is a tremendous value to knowing your community. And it's a great way to actually get to know a community. You really see parts of the area that you may not in your day-to-days.
Absolutely.
I wanted to turn now to the more nitty-gritty, the housekeeping part that we need to know about. And so, Carter, I'm going to start with you. You mentioned a little bit already about the website, but tell us that again in terms of finding meals and services in a particular geographic area, but expand on that. What is the application process? Is there somebody there 24/7 that talks to you, or is it all online? When does the meal delivery begin? What do we need to know?
It really will be dependent on the local program. I think one thing that I always like to remind people or let people know is that many programs deliver Meals on Wheels without being called Meals on Wheels, or it may not be in their name. So it may be your senior center is actually where meals are delivered, or your Council on Aging, or senior services. They come in a lot of different names. So I think, again, when you're really looking to see who is delivering this service in your community, going to our website, mealsonwheelsamerica.org/findmeals, really is kind of one of the better ways, because you can enter your zip code and it will give you all the different service providers in the area that we know about. And so it has their contact information, and you can go on their individual websites and see. Most oftentimes there is some sort of an application. It may just be your contact information and details, and it may also require an assessment of the recipient's needs. In some cases, a referral is needed, or it may ask for a referral letter from a doctor or a social worker. That kind of gets into to just how operations are done in individual communities. So contacting your local provider to find out the exact steps needed to receive the meals and services is critical. I did want to say that, unfortunately, Meals on Wheels programs are not able to meet the current demand. There are wait lists in many communities because of funding constraints. So that is something that Meals on Wheels America and our local programs are every day working to resolve, whether that's through advocacy, innovative partnerships, or other funding models. We are committed to ensuring that every older adult who needs Meals on Wheels is able to get it. But that really does take partners and takes more investment in our network. So as you are looking to find services, there may be options for different kinds of payment models or different funding sources that can be supported. Typically, we do ask for some amount of funding for the meals. It may be a donation, but also programs may run a private pay, which is a true private pay option where you can receive the meals as well from that. And then we've already talked a little bit about the criteria being a little bit different depending on your local programs. But we do know that there are similar basic eligibility criteria, which is usually older adults 60 years and older with mobility challenges that make it hard to shop for food, prepare meals, and socialize with others that are eligible. But it's really best to check with the local Meals on Wheels program or area agency on aging for exact eligibility criteria and application requirements.
And if someone is disabled and younger than 60, are they eligible?
Yes. They are also oftentimes eligible. Yes. And also, I said, Cheryl, earlier, a caregiver of an individual receiving meals too. So there's some nuance there. And those often are associated with the Older Americans Act federal funding. And so that is an area that we continue to advocate and support, and would encourage folks to do that as well, to really call and ensure that we are bolstering and strengthening the Older Americans Act and the support of senior nutrition programs.
And if I'm hearing you correctly, at least right now, in terms of the bill that was developed by the House of Representatives, is there funding cuts anticipated for the Older Americans Act, especially for this program?
At the moment, we have flat funding, which is wonderful, but with the rising costs, that really does end up being a reduction in our ability to do services. I think everybody is feeling the increase in grocery bills, and that is absolutely true for programs who are producing and procuring meals for delivery as well. So the cost of doing business continues to rise, and we need to ensure that our federal supports are able to continue to support that as well. And again, it's a public-private partnership, so we absolutely have the private dollars as well. On average, actually, only about 38% of the overall funding for Meals on Wheels programs is through federal Older Americans Act dollars. That will vastly differ at local programs. Sometimes it's the full portion. Sometimes they don't receive any federal funding, but on average, it's about 40%.
And Mary, in your experience or colleagues that you talk with on a regular basis, do your clients pay for meals? And if so, is there a range as to how much the charge is for those who are willing or able to pay?
Yes, yeah. As part of the intake process with Arlington County, they will obtain some financial information about monthly income. And there are ranges where the client will fully pay for themselves. And right now it's $61 a week for 10 meals. We have the majority of our clients who are funded through the Older Americans Act. And then we have a small group of clients, mostly disabled people under the age of 60, who do not qualify for Older Americans Act funding and who can't afford to pay themselves. And our organization pays for those meals out of our donations fund. Last year, it was about $45,000 worth of meals that we funded. And because we had these funds available, we are one of the few very lucky organizations that does not have a wait list for services.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Cheryl Beversdorf, producer and host of Aging Matters in Arlington, Virginia. And today we're talking about Meals on Wheels, a program that features a nutritious meal, companionship, and a watchful eye on health and safety for America's most vulnerable and high-risk older adult and disabled populations. Are there foundations or other private organizations that are willing to subsidize your organization?
Absolutely. There are several very generous foundations who are supporting us, as well as Arlington County. Arlington County has a few grants available for local nonprofits that we've been able to take advantage of. And there are several grant opportunities in America for people who want to support seniors and people who are food insecure. And we've been fairly fortunate in our ability to get some of this grant money. We're still hurting for money. If you want to donate, we will take any dollar, but we've been pretty lucky in our efforts.
And on a national basis, Carter, are you also reaching out?
Yeah, I would say absolutely the same. So again, it's a public-private partnership and it takes all parties. We definitely are partnering with foundations. I see that at the local level, very much what Mary says happening. We also continue to look for opportunities. Some local programs may actually have a social enterprise arm, which is revenue generating, so it can help to offset the costs. It's especially true if you're already running a kitchen. Some programs will have a catering business that they're able to do, and that funding then helps to support the meal delivery for local programs. So there's some really innovative solutions that we see throughout the network, and it's going to take all of this creativity and partnership and layering of funds to truly meet the demand that's there. So again, in your local communities, you're going to see the variety of a suggested donation being paid or on a sliding scale or really subsidies or for financial assistance. It's really going to depend locally, and absolutely the partnerships there. Our local philanthropies are critical to supporting the needs.
Well, I also want to hear about the food. You know, we often talk about we're picky and we like this or we don't that. So Carter, I'm going to start with you as to the actual meal process. Do the clients get to choose their meals and the food that they prefer? What about food allergies or preferences? Some people might be vegan or they don't like red meat. How does that handled? I mean, you've got multiple clients and you've got a lot of different meals. So we'll hear from Carter and then see how it's handled in Arlington.
Yeah, absolutely. So many Meals on Wheels programs are able to offer clients the options to choose meals based on preference and dietary need. And so clients are usually asked about allergies or restrictions up front so that the program can ensure that meals are safe and suitable. Some programs are able to accommodate vegetarian diets, low sodium options, or requests for no red meat. Not everybody. There will still be limitations because we're preparing meals in bulk. And so really, we always encourage older adult clients to be very upfront about that, and the programs as well, if they can or can't meet those needs. Many programs will actually engage with their clients in designing the menus, or at least have some sort of advisory group that's providing input as to how menus may change or if there's a new option to be added. It can be quite costly to have multiple meal options, especially at bulk, if you don't have enough clients who are able to receive that meal. But as we said earlier, nutrition needs change, and even some programs are able to provide meals that are maybe texture modified or pureed that can help support individuals who have trouble chewing or swallowing. So we really see this gamut of meals that can be offered. And again, the programs who are offering them really understand older adults' nutritional needs and are able to accomplish and accommodate that. We've also seen kind of trends in offering more culturally relevant meals. So that may look like a Vietnamese meal in a community that is a large Vietnamese population, because again, you need kind of that density to make it work from the operational perspective. We also see programs maybe with cultural in kind of communities where it's fish fry Fridays or some of those other traditional meals that we you may expect. Those are often taken care of in Meals on Wheels programs in both the home delivered and in the community dining options that we see them providing.
Anything that you wanted to add, Mary? I figured the fact that Carter talked about culturally sensitive, given the fact that we often hear that in the Washington, D.C. area, we have 40 different types of cultures here. Is that really something? And does somebody complain about something is too spicy and they got the wrong meal? Or what's been your experience?
Our clients have definite opinions about their meals. I never knew macaroni and cheese could be so controversial. But the Arlington County nutritionist works with our catering company to design the menus, and we do a survey twice a year with our clients to get their feedback on the meals. And as a result, we have incorporated more multicultural features, more legumes, more beans, more Asian options for our Asian community. And I think the clients appreciate that a lot.
So we've got the meals, and hopefully the menu is going to be satisfactory to the recipient. What happens next in terms of how is the meal delivery arranged? Talk a little bit about even where the food is prepared. I thought I heard sometimes it's catering, but it could be something else. And the number of meals that are provided, what goes on in your area? And then Carter, maybe you can address the variation in other parts of the country.
We work with a catering company, and the bulk of our delivery is once a week, 5 frozen meals, 5 fresh meals, and juice and milk. And we've found that once a week delivery is better for our clients, so they don't have to be at home every day. And it's much easier to schedule volunteers for a once a week delivery. Our catering company delivers to a local church parking lot, and all our volunteers come and we unload the trucks in the different routes, load up the cars, give them a route book with instructions on where to go. They make their deliveries. They will come back and let us know what they've seen, if they have any concerns. And then we do it all again the next week.
So it's once a week then?
For most of our clients, we have about 10 clients who aren't able to accommodate weekly deliveries, mostly people with dementia who may not have ovens in their homes, and they get delivered Monday through Friday 2 meals.
And it's always the deliveries on a weekday as opposed to weekend?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned a little bit earlier, one of you, about arranging to get into through a gate or dealing with a pet that doesn't like strangers or getting into someone's condo building. Is that a part of the process too, to make sure that you can reach the client safely?
Yes. Our client coordinator and the county work with the individual buildings to make sure that we can get a code or we get a key fob to get into the building, that we know about any parking concerns especially, and to make sure that we're able to get to the client every week.
And Carter, have you heard from organizations in other parts of the country, any variation on the theme that Mary's talking about?
I think that is our motto for today, variation on the theme. So yes, absolutely. Meals are either prepared in a central kitchen or contracted by a food provider. Again, we have some who are producers, they manage their own kitchens, they do start to finish. Others who have caterers that they partner with on that. And the nutrition is balanced options, meeting dietary guidelines for older adults, choice, all of those. We see examples, especially if they're running different meal types, where maybe there's a different kind of sticker on the meal, or the meal is very clearly like, this is Jane Doe's meal, this is Mr. Smith's meal, so that you know that you're giving the right meal to the right client. Once they're prepared, staff or volunteers will usually deliver to clients 5 days a week, 3 days a week, once a week. And we actually saw a lot of that operational shift during COVID, which was initially where many programs shifted from a five-day delivery Monday through Friday to a maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, even when we were truly trying to maintain that physical distance piece. But one thing that a lot of programs found, and I think, Mary, you probably see this as well, is that delivering maybe 3 days a week allows some flexibility for that client to go to doctor's appointments or other social activities if they're able to have support getting to a senior center or something else. So we are seeing that flexibility a lot more. But again, that social connection piece is so critical. And sometimes programs will even augment that with calls on the off days that maybe they aren't delivering a meal. And again, they would have delivered multiple meals to cover those periods of times. So that local flexibility is really critical. And that direct delivery really does ensure that the nutritious food is provided, that regular check-in, and is supporting the safety and well-being. Again, with the volunteer recruitment, sometimes it's route sheets. Some programs will use technology-enabled, so that kind of routing is already done on the mobile phone, and they're able to support those efforts. Oftentimes, if there's an issue getting into a client's building or location, or the client isn't at home, that is immediately reported back to the staff. And so the staff can either call the emergency contact and follow up with those. So we've even seen programs who will kind of go back and do a delivery later once that client is back home. Sometimes they've, you know, had to go to the hospital unexpectedly and for some reason are not able to be delivered to for that day.
Final question. You want to list the resources that people should know about in terms of Meals on Wheels? Carter, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. Just again, thank you so much. It's been really fun to explore this with you all. If you are interested in either receiving services or in volunteering, I would encourage you to check out our website, mealsonwheelsamerica.org. We have both the opportunity for finding meals there as well as to find a program to volunteer with. So if you're interested in volunteering, it would be mealsonwheelsamerica.org/America Let's Do Lunch. And again, just a few hours of time can really mean the world to seniors in your community. I'd also encourage you to look into our call to end the wait. For far too long, Americans, older adults have been waiting on hold, and we are really committed to partnering to ensure that nutritious meals, connection, and companionship are delivered to all older adults who need it.
Mary, any final comments or that you'd like to share?
I agree. This has been wonderful and informative for me because there were things that Carter brought up that I wasn't aware of. If anyone is interested in volunteering or in receiving services, you can go to our website, mealsonwheelsarlington.com, and there will be plenty of information there to guide you. If you're interested in services, you can also go to the Arlington County government website. The Agency on Aging has information about Meals on Wheels, and we'll connect you with a caseworker to make sure that you get started on your journey with Meals on Wheels.
Well, I want to thank Carter Florence, Vice President of Programs at Meals on Wheels America, and Mary Tugwell, President of Meals on Wheels of Arlington, Virginia. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
To learn more about Aging Matters, visit our website at agingmattersonline.com. And at this site, you can access all Aging Matters radio and TV show content, in addition to Aging Matters podcasts, such as the one that you're listening to right now. It's on Apple, Spotify, Red Circle, and other podcast sites. Aging Matters is produced in association with Steve Lack Audio. To learn more about that company, visit stevelackaudio.com. Thank you for listening to Aging Matters today. And remember, age is just a number, not a label. That's it for Sprouts. This week, you have been listening to the second half of an Aging Matters program about Meals on Wheels, a service that provides a nutritious meal, companionship, and a watchful eye on health and safety for America's most vulnerable and high-risk older adult and disabled populations. Special thanks to my guests, Carter Florence, Vice President of Programs at Meals on Wheels America, and Mary Tugwell, President of Meals on Wheels of Arlington, Virginia. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's U-R-S-U-L-A at pacifica.org. I'm Cheryl Beversdorf in Arlington, Virginia. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
I'm Mr. KBOO Portland, Full Strength Community Radio. This is Kabaka Pyramid representing from Kingston, Jamaica. Baby Rock family, you don't know.
Tune in to Locus Focus, a weekly conversation about our place on the planet, every Monday morning at 10 on KBOO Community Radio. Each week, host Barbara Bernstein talks with local